This episode of Nintendo Expansion Pass is brought to you by, well, you. If you want to learn how to support Nintendo Podblock and the Boss Rush Network, head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/BossRushNetwork and see which tier is right for you. Thanks for your continued support. Hello everybody, welcome to Nintendo Expansion Pass here on Boss Rush Games. I'm your host, the Light Excited NV. Joining me is the one, the only Bossman himself, Mr. Corey Dimrick. Hello, good sir.
Hello, Edward. I'm ready to have this open Nintendo conversation, because we don't ever just hang out and talk about Nintendo anymore. I mean, we do, but...
We do.
We don't. You know what I mean? It's different. It's different.
Because sometimes when Microsoft come up, we start rambling on Microsoft, just like...
But, I mean, you know... Microsoft might come up this episode, everybody, so, you know, I mean...
But look how, when we was doing Arsenal X, I would always ran on with Nintendo stuff instead of talking about Microsoft. So, it's a change in things. But, Corey, you actually had a topic... that's kind of interesting to have.
Yeah, I kind of have a topic, but it's more of like a opening for a non-important discussion about Nintendo in general. But I'm looking at this list. So I made this list of Switch games that, you know, I'm obsessed with creating lists. And so I've made this Switch list of games that digital games that I own, physical games that I own, mm-hmm. and or want in my collection. And I'm just going through this list and I'm like, man, there are some franchises that nobody really cared about before the Switch generation. And they have just exploded in popularity. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not Mario, it's not Zelda, it's not Pokemon. I'm talking things like Pikmin and Xenoblade Chronicles and, you know, even, to the extent of like, I mean, Animal Crossing has always been popular, but man, for it to be the second best selling game on the console is like ridiculous. And even, you know, I mean, Splatoon was big on the Wii U, but it saw its surge on the Switch with Splatoon 2 and even into Splatoon 3, right? And so that's kind of where I'm at. Fire Emblem also, right?
Yes.
So that's kind of where my head has been at of like, man, these games have become incredibly popular because just based on what the Switch is able to do and how popular it is and... you know, I think Xenoblade for me is like the biggest eye opener just because like Splatoon, you can totally see because it's a multiplayer game and it's really Nintendo's only major multiplayer game that's not called Smash Brothers or Mario Kart. And, you know, Pikmin is Pikmin. I think Pikmin should have always been popular, in my opinion. But like Xenoblade is kind of the one that stands out. And I want to know why these games have exploded in popularity. You know, like it's great that Nintendo has franchises that are growing and new franchises that just aren't called Mario and Zelda. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, even Metroid saw a huge surge in popularity this generation. Right. I mean, remember when Metroid Dread was announced, everybody who owned a Wii U or 3DS ran to the eShop to buy the rest of those Metroid games before the eShop closed, right? I mean, that was a huge thing. Like all the Metroid games were the best-selling eShop games on both consoles for like months, even after Metroid Dread came out. You know, and I want to know what your thoughts are, because these games have always been important to the platform. You know, at various degrees and at various generations, but these games have all surged in their popularity, and it's really interesting to see which ones have hit that. And like I said, Xenoblade is kind of the biggest eye-opener, not because of its quality or anything, because I think Xenoblade has been good to great for a long time. It's I don't know. Is it the handheld nature of the console that has made some of these popular? Is it just people are finally seeing the quality, or people's gaming tastes changing? Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Well, first of all, it's the Switch itself. And it's just been like, would you know that Nintendo's putting out a first party game, you know you was gonna get some good quality. Now, the execution sometimes may not be there to certain people's likings, but you know you was gonna get a quality game. So with just the Switch alone, help people get back into gaming and get back into Nintendo games and stuff. Xenoblade Chronicles, really, you know, 2 was great. You know, everybody loved the definitive version, and it really became its own big thing. But once those characters came to Smash, the sales of Xenoblade, and even the, like, the DLC for Xenoblade 2 was selling, was gone. And then, and don't forget, because Corey, I think I found a Xenoblade that I found for you and sent it to?
No, it was Bayonetta.
It's Bayonetta. Okay. When the DLC characters for Smash came out, everybody started looking for those Xenoblade games, and they was hard to find in stores and everything. And, you know, people wanted the physical version. Yeah, it was always there for a digital purchase, but people wanted those physical games. And then when Xenoblade Chronicles 3 dropped, because of how popular Smash was and people loving and playing all of the Xenoblade games, 3 became one of the most anticipated role-playing games for a lot of people. And then when people played it, they recognized how great and how good that game is. Like, from the music to the characters to the voice acting to the story, like, it was the full package. It broke Nintendo's website because everybody was trying to get the collector's item. You know, that happened, what, twice or something? You know, so It's like, that's how popular that series came because of the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Smash characters. Metroid became popular because of, you know, Mercury's theme, definitely with Samus Returns. And just like you said, everybody went back and started recognizing kind of the origins of Metroidvanias, or trying to get the history of the Metroid series.
I mean, so, we know people who went out and found secondhand Wii U's to go buy Metroid games.
Yeah,
when Dread was announced, and I'm like, "What? This is insane!" And and that was when like GameStop was selling Wii U bundles for like $149 with games, right? Like that was that's a steal, by the way.
Yes.
Also, by the side tangent, Ed, by the time people hear this episode, this is, you know, old news, but I hooked up my Wii U in my office, my new office, the other day.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, something else we didn't mention. This is the last batch of expansion passes in this this office. This is it. Anyways, I hooked my Wii U up in the new office, and man, it's slow loading up onto that home screen menu and loading into a disc. Now, when you get the disc in, it's fine. But like, man, it took me a good 4 or 5 minutes just to get into a game. So I turned on Twilight Princess HD and ran around Castle Town for 10 minutes just to see if it would work. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. Like, it's so crazy that people were like looking for Wii U's and 3DS's to buy these Metroid games. It was I really hadn't seen anything like it in a long time. I would say like,
well, they maybe did it for Zelda too.
Not to this extent, though.
Oh, for Breath of the Wild, Bucks, people were looking for this extent. People were just like, I'm looking for Twilight Prince. Well, they weren't buying the Wii U's or anything, but they were like, I need to find Wind Waker HD. I need to find Twilight Princess. I need to hook up my GameCube to play those original. Like, people, when Breath of the Wild was about to come out, folks was getting their kids into the Zelda series. And they were starting from the NES. That's why with NSO, having most of the games on there, folks started going back to those original games, preparing them for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I think you could almost play all of the Zelda games except for the DS and the 3DS versions on the Switch, right? I mean, I think they're all there except for, I guess, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. But the DS ones are on the Wii U. I bought them. Spirit Track, because of the dual screen experience, you can totally do that.
Yes.
Which is also crazy that you can do that, but you can do it. Not recommended. I think the DS games are bad, but that's my opinion.
DS got some hits, I would say.
No, I meant the Zelda games.
The Zelda games. Oh.
In particular. I do think that A Link Between Worlds is worth playing on the 3DS, though.
Yes. Oh, please bring it to the Switch.
I know.
Bring Wind Waker, Twilight Princess to Switch. So we could just flip out and be like, yeah, this is.
I know.
Here's my 60 Nintendo.
Yeah.
Here's my coins.
I will do whatever it takes to get those games on the Switch.
I feel like that's a summer announcement.
I kind of feel like it's coming as well. If this new console isn't coming until March, they need to fill a year and some change of games. And it's not going to be anything new or noteworthy, right? When your only new game in the spring is Princess Peach Showtime. Now, granted, that game looks really great.
Yes.
But it's not on the level of like Zelda or Mario or something along that line, right? Like,
yes.
They're going to need some Zelda games. They're going to need those Metroid Prime ports. I could see Mercury Steam doing another Metroid game, 2D Metroid game. It's been 4 years, almost 5 years now, right? 2019? That's when Dread came out?
No, 2021 or 22.
Whenever the OLED came out, I guess 21.
22.
I gotta look this up now.
It might be. Because Metroid Dread was robbed of Game of the Year. And everything, and that's when people really wanted that game to win.
21. Okay.
Okay. 21. Okay.
So 21. So what? 3 years? Might be a little too soon, I guess.
Well, I know they're working on their own game, but Metroid 6 is probably something that they'll put on their next platform. I don't think the Metroid team is thinking about. Okay, what is the next? Because they gotta actually write a new story, in this new adventure chapter for Samus.
It's not about that. It's about development time, really.
Oh yeah,
I mean, if we're gonna get anything Metroid, it's gonna be the Prime. It's gonna be the Prime remakes and the NSO games, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So yeah, man, I think,
I will say, for some of their other games that became popular, you know, you mentioned Fire Emblem, and Fire Emblem got popular because of Fire Emblem Awakening. And then you look at Conquest, was it Conquest? Fates. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Earthright and Conquest and Revelation were the three games.
Yes. And then I think Fates was after that, I believe.
No, it was so Fire Emblem Awakening, and then Fire Emblem Fates had three versions, which was Birthright, Conquest, and Revelation. And then you had Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows of Valencia was the third
game. Okay, yes.
Which is a remake of 2, Fire Emblem 2, I think.
I think so, yeah.
In some sense. So.
And then we got Three Houses with that. I mean, even though we had the Warrior games with Fire Emblem, which is another thing, like Hyrule Warriors, just the Warrior systems. The Warrior system became popular because of Hyrule Warrior on Wii U. And then it just stayed popular, like, when it started hitting the other platforms. But with Nintendo franchises, that the Warriors games really stayed, like, really became popular. Three Hopes is an amazing Warriors game. Hyrule Warriors, the second one, is a great game. Like, it really, the Warriors game really became big. It, even though it's more of a Koei Tecmo's engine and style of game, it's Nintendo's properties making just the Warrior series in general popular and everything. Because we started, you know, we've seen like the Persona 5 get their own style game. Like, that's how popular the Warrior style games were being. And that started on Wii U with Hyrule Warriors. It just became popular because of those games also being on Switch.
If you want to see how you can become a Patreon producer, head on over to patreon.com/BossRushNetwork. The Patreon producers for this month are Adriel Munger, Austin Campbell, Celeste Roberts, Christian S., Sana Dierig, Francisco Santillan, Matthew Keel, and Todd Oxtra. Thanks for your continued support of the Boss Rush Network.
You know, you mentioned Splatoon. Nintendo took a risk with Splatoon 1, and it did numbers. Everybody was loving it. And then 2 and 3 came out, and people still love that game. And it just grew. It still have numbers and everything, you know. And it's more about the multiplaying, you know, aspect. It's just having fun, and it's just always, you know, you can do 5 or 6 matches. And just the randomness of it, of different players and, you know, feeling like a team knowing that you cover most of the ground. Like, it's something simple, but it's like really, it's really deep if you think about it and stuff. And so, you know, that like Splatoon is all. Let's see, Kirby. And Kirby has some ups and downs. I will say that Kirby kind of became popular more on the handhelds than it did consoles. But that, you know, the series really got continuous love and grew throughout the console games. And like, the last Kirby game that came out on Switch, the original one, not like a remake or anything. Not Rainbow Curse. Oh, goodness. What is that Kirby game for Switch? I cannot think of. Why can I not
Forgotten
think
Land? Are you talking about
yes.
Forgotten
yes.
Land? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, how Star great Allies. That was. how great that Forgotten Land is. I'm getting old, everybody. I got to work on my memory, so. How that just, it was so bonkers of a game, but it's so good and so polished that people love that game and everything. It's such a fun adventure with it. And it's just like, really, everybody should play that game. And it helped Kirby become popular. You know, you still see memes and particular artist ideas and renditions of Kirby, and I'm gonna leave it at there. on how popular that one is. So, then you got just the 99 series, Tetris 99, F-Zero 99, Pac-Man 99. Like, the 99 series, surprisingly, is still going strong. People love the 99 series on Switch. And that kind of just, it felt like it grew out of experiment. Mario Brothers 99, like that one was crazy and everything. Like, I'm so happy to see that Nintendo I would say, lesser known franchises and some new IPs really became bigger because people just went out, gave those games a try and seen how great the quality was. You mentioned Pikmin 4, and Pikmin has always been a good series ever since the GameCube. It has the ups and downs, but Pikmin 4, it's just like when you think of strategy games or pretty much strategy games, Pikmin 4 is that strategy game on Switch that you would just get drawn in. And it's just, they really made it accessible for everybody who wants to play that game. It's easy to get into. The quality of life changes they have really works well for that system. And it really kind of gives you the idea. I kind of mentioned this on Power Block on one of our episodes that, man, Nintendo working with Unreal Engine, like, they do some good stuff with that engine, surprisingly. While still using their own priority engine and making phenomenal games. Like,
yeah, I wonder. I also wonder if some of the, you know, not just Nintendo, but the other companies in general. I mean, we've seen Microsoft kind of shift almost all of their games to Unreal. I mean, the Coalition is helping architect Unreal Engine 5, you know, with Epic. I think the only games right now that aren't using Unreal 5 are the Fable reboot and the Forza games. And I think that's it.
Yeah, because Playground has their own. Well, Halo Infinite is still on that one, but
right. But the next Halo project is on Unreal 5.
It's on Unreal 5, right? Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I think you're going to start seeing that a lot more, just because A, games are more expensive than ever to make, regardless of what company you are working for, and you know, Nintendo's no different, right? Their games are going to get more expensive because their hardware is becoming more powerful. And now granted, Nintendo's art style and their design, obviously we talked about on the last expansion pass episode, where, you know, Nintendo has become the masters of a great cadence of games, and they know when to release smaller titles or re-releases to kind of fund their bigger projects. And that seems to be something that Sony and Microsoft are kind of lacking at this point, is that kind of re-release type thing. Not that you want every game to be a re-release. I'm not saying that, but Nintendo has the new games to back up their remakes and remasters. So
yes,
I think you're going to see Nintendo kind of, I think their output, though it's still going to be strong, I think you're going to see it slow down a little bit over the next generation, just for the simple fact that games are going to cost more to make. And depending on what art style they choose for, say, Zelda or Metroid or something along those lines, or how detailed they want to make Donkey Kong's fur in the next Donkey Kong game, right? Like, they're gonna have to take a little bit more time, and Nintendo loves to be perfectionists with their tentpole games, and you know, I think whatever comes next from them is going to be beautiful and awesome. But at the same time, to make it look awesome and beautiful and play great, they're gonna have to spend more time. Unreal is very universal and will cut down on time based on the simple fact that they have teams of engineers around the world that can answer those questions, instead of, you know, the proprietary engine stuff. Only the team that's working on that game with that proprietary engine knows the engine. Whereas you get a team working with Unreal, there are countless studios using Unreal that can answer that question or solve a problem, or, you know, put it on some sort of GitHub or Substack, right? That can, you know, really help people fix their issues. or Epic, even go to Epic themselves. So that's my thought. Although Nintendo has done wonders with their, like you said earlier, their proprietary engine with Zelda and Mario and stuff like that.
Which I have a feeling they're going to upgrade their those engines, their personal engines for next console.
Well, Breath of the Wild is running on the Skyward Sword engine. So, which is kind of funny. Anyways.
Yeah.
I think they're still going to use that engine for the next Zelda game. I think they've perfected it. And even if the world changes, I think you're going to see these mechanics really be fleshed out. And whatever this new Zelda looks like or whatever, like, that game's going to be beautiful regardless. But I don't expect to see it for, I would say
29 or 30.
Yeah, that's what, gosh, 2030 doesn't sound like a real year. I hate that so much. Anyways. Could you imagine Xenoblade, the next Xenoblade game in an Unreal style engine?
If that depends if they do still go with their anime style. If they still go with their anime style, I think it would be detailed like crazy, because the artists at Monolith Soft are very good in their thing. So I think there would be some great detail that they would put on it. Monolith Soft probably would still be helping with Zelda, so that would definitely look surprisingly well. I think they would go back to the Twilight Princess, I think they would take that Wii U. Was it the Wii U or was it the Wii Zelda demo? The Wii U Zelda tech demo. I think they would go back to that and try to achieve that perfection or that look for a next Zelda game, if they could get it just right in our thing. Because I think it's time to get Zelda in 60 frames per second, and it's time to give that game detail and everything. I think it needs to help the world, because definitely if we're going for a living world for this adventure, you definitely would need the processing power to do that and stuff. I don't know if it would definitely take Monolith Soft to learn Unreal, but I think they have their own also priority engine and stuff. And I think it would take a game. It definitely would take a game before they go all in to learn it and put it out and see what we think about it, what the pros and cons and stuff about it. Because I think people would give a game a try if they say it's a new engine from this team, and like if we see the quality and it's there, but they can approve, the sales will help with that feedback and everything.
Yeah, I wonder what new IP Nintendo is going to come up with too. Like, I mean, we've seen so many great new IP with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we talked about this at one point, and people may not realize it because they do own a lot of smaller IP, and they do own a lot of IP that are created that they publish, right? Like, but I think there's only been one year where Nintendo, since 1985, that Nintendo hasn't released a new IP, right? Because you think of stuff, you don't think of things like Good Job is theirs, Snipperclips is theirs, Moving Out is theirs, Pushmo is theirs, Box Boy is theirs.
Yeah.
Right. There are so many smaller titles like that you don't even think of that are theirs. Right. And even something like Wii Sports and Nintendo Land are technically new IP for them. And so it's just crazy to think about the amount of IP that they could potentially dig into, not to mention new IP. And I really hope we see Nintendo take on a new IP that, you know, and we saw ARMS this generation too. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Like,
that's a new IP. And it was interesting. Was it the greatest? No, but I think there is something there. I think they whiffed by not including Little Mac as a character, but that's my opinion. Where's my Punch Out game?
But for a new IP to hit like a million or two, just like Splatoon to hit like a million or two plus, that's a good idea that we'll see a sequel, and it's just something needs time to build and work on. And you know, Nintendo, if they could get an idea working, they'll hop onto it and do it. You know, we was talking about Star Fox and stuff, and we now know that Ubisoft could do a Star Fox game, and I believe Nintendo would trust them to do a new Star Fox game because of their Airplay game, and not so much Platinum, because Platinum didn't have that experience of doing it. Bandai Namco had experience about it because of Ace Combat and stuff, which I just was watching a video Sunday, Corey. Ace Combat 7 is coming to Switch. I'm like, wait, when did Bandai Namco announce this? Wait, what? And Ace Combat has never been on the Nintendo console. I don't know how it's going to play. I don't know how it's going to look. But it's shocking that I just didn't even know it was coming to Switch and stuff. So I think there's going to be something very interesting, definitely for next console. But just like for games that really grew in popularity, whether there was new or old, it's really because of the Switch. It really is. And that allowed people to go back and purchase their old games or sign up for NSO and play those other games that they missed. You know, people finally got a chance to play the Go to Sun and 1 and 2. I don't know what they're thinking now about the games, but you know, if that love for that series is still there and they could see a brand new game come out, it will come out. Hopefully. Nintendo will take notice and be like, yeah, let's bring this out.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I need to watch the Switch, the January presentation before the Switch release, that Japanese presentation. I need to see if there were some games in there that still haven't came out yet.
I mean, I don't know. They could have been canceled. I know some of them have probably been canceled or moved on to other projects or changed hands or whatever. So
yeah, because I was just like, this Shin Megami Tensei 5 looked like this before the game actually came out? It's arrested.
Yeah, I forgot that was announced there.
Mm-hmm. And that game took years before it came out. And it just feels so funny that it took years for the original version to come out. And then I'm assuming, is it 2 years later? I think 2 years later, it's going to be available everywhere. Which is fine. Which I'm good with. I mean, it's not a Nintendo exclusive. Like, they don't own the property or anything. But I think it probably was a time exclusive, and they probably did plan on bringing it to other platforms. I think they were just waiting for the contract to end. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
While working on new DLC content.
Yeah.
So.
Man. I'm quite interested to see Nintendo's transition into next gen. I really am.
I am too.
I mean, there are other things too. Like, will they get the Witcher remake? Will they get things like, you know,
Cyberpunk?
Well, I don't really care about that. But I mean, the Witcher ended up being a big release for them. And mm-hmm. like, will they get some sort of Final Fantasy remake version? Will they get some sort of, you know, whatever the next Microsoft game to come over. I mean, they already got the Outer Worlds. Like, will the Outer Worlds 2 make it there? Like, will Avowed maybe come at some point? Like,
can we get the reboot of the Tomb Raider trilogy? I need that so bad on the Nintendo.
Yeah,
I need that and the Legacy of Kain games.
Like, I wonder if that ship has sailed. On those
it Tomb probably Raider has. Games.
But I mean, will Sega finally give in and put the Yakuza games on? Like, I think that would be a massive hit on Switch or on whatever the next console is, you know. And I know they've kind of said that the Switch or Nintendo isn't really a home for the Yakuza games, but like, it could be. Are you trying? You know,
Nintendo has some like, N-rated games on there.
Like, dude, Bayonetta, come on. You know, I mean, you've opened the eShop store. There are 8,000 hentai games on sale. You can't put Yakuza on there.
I wouldn't be surprised if later on in the year we get Conquer 64, which was a Nintendo M-rated game on the N64, for that matter.
Well, also the funny thing is that Nintendo approved another version of Conquer. Remember, Conquer's 12 Tales was like the original pitch for that, and it was just another character action platformer. And then they turned it around and made it something. Well, they made it naughty. Conquer now.
I would say naughty.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of Marvel and Star Wars games in development. Will those end up coming? Like, taking Star Wars Outlaws on the go would be awesome.
Ooh, I forgot all about that. Though I would love for that.
Will, you know, whatever the next. There's so many possibilities of next gen. Also, I don't know if you saw this, but this is a very random thought, but I just thought of it. You see that Warren Spector came out today and said that he's glad Epic Mickey is getting re-released, and he has a high level idea for a third game if Disney would let him make it.
Yeah, we was talking about that on PowerBlock, and I had seen that tweet. Because we were just like, oh, of course. Because I said, make it Nintendo exclusive. Nintendo, give him that coin to make that game exclusive.
Yeah, and that kind of seems like, for me, that seems like a no-brainer, right? Epic Mickey 1 is a very, very good character platformer that was on the wrong console, right? 2 was rushed out in like 15 months. It wasn't very good. I think half the team got laid off before the game even came out. Like, it was that whole development of that second game was a mess. But that first game is a special game. And if Warren Spector had time and the right team and, you know, whether it was multi-platform or Nintendo exclusive, I wouldn't really care. But like, you know, Nintendo would give him the time to do that. I think that series is kind of owned by THQ Nordic at this point, or
it is.
At least the first game is published by them. I don't know if the IP is obviously owned by Disney, but I don't know if the IP technically, if THQ has the first right of refusal to make a third game or something. But at any point, like, if you would give Warren Spector some money and time to make a proper Epic Mickey game on a proper console.
Literally would say, if THQ doesn't have it or anything, or if they had to make a deal or whatever with Disney stuff, I think the key people who made Disney Illusion Island could help Warren Spector make the Epic Mickey 3.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let it be their company, THQ, and Disney all together to make that happen. And make it a Nintendo exclusive. Like, Nintendo, Disney have a good relationship. The only other relationship Disney have good with, maybe Square Enix? Because Electronic Arts? I mean, If I'm sticking straight with Disney games, I would definitely say Square Enix and Nintendo has the best relationship with Disney for those games.
Yeah. I really hope we get another Epic Mickey. There was a rumor. I mean, there was that concept art for that Donald Duck spinoff. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that. There was that. And then, I don't know. It was, I don't know. Look, Ed, side tangent while we're on the subject of Disney. And I'm going to bring this up every time I think about it now. Why is Disney not giving, no pun intended, the keys to the kingdom to someone like Frontier or someone else to make a Roller Coaster Tycoon version, like a Disneyland Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you can make your own Disney theme parks? And I know those crappy ones exist on iOS and stuff, but like, give me a $40 to $60 experience similar to like Planet Coaster or Parkitect or something I don't have to download any mods, where it's not super complicated. Just give me Disneyland Tycoon and I'll be happy.
I think they're doing something with Epic.
I know they are. And that's where that's going to exist, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. Right. I know they've said they wanted to incorporate their theme parks and movies and TV shows and all their universes into one thing. And yes, I think that's where that's going to exist. But you can make other games too, Disney. Give me that Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Or drop it in Dreamlight Valley.
No. I need the right team to create a park builder. Okay. The team behind Parkitect seems really adequate to make it. I think,
was that the one we were talking about? I think that's the one we were talking about.
Yeah. I think Park Beyond, which was a new park builder that came out last year, seems pretty capable. I do think Planet Coaster is a little bit too complicated for what I'm looking for. I really just want that classic Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2 feel and look, to be honest.
Because I definitely, people will be giving that coin away. I would give that coin away with the quickness. Like, no, it's a bust. Here you go. Let me know what the season pass is. Not season pass. Let me know what the DLC is so I can have the DLC. Because I'm just like, if you're going to add stuff, because it would be cool. Sorry, everybody. We're still talking about Nintendo, but we're on the Disney kick. It literally will be cool if this game came out, let's just say for all consoles, but definitely Nintendo, that it came out for Nintendo's next gen console. And then the DLC comes out for every time they're building a new attraction and it opens up, you get that DLC for free if you pay for the season pass. Mm-hmm. So let's say Guardians of the Galaxy 4 comes out or whatever, just use that as a hypothetical. And that is getting an attraction at Disney. Once that opens, let's say a week after it opens, you get that DLC if you want to make it. Like, that literally would be cool.
Yeah.
But, shoot, $60 or $70, well, it'll probably be $70. They would get that coin.
Yeah. So. Yep. We'll see.
Yes. Well, everybody, that's going to be it for Nintendo Expansion Pass. Get in my words. I'm just hype about this Disney thing. I don't know why. And you know me. Everybody, the history between me and Disney is great. I'm more of a Six Flags person. Corey is more of a Disney person. But I love theme parks. Just literally want to say that I love theme parks and I love going to them, riding roller coasters, getting food, and learning how a park was built. I love that history. But everybody, have a great week. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you next time on Nintendo Expansion Pass. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. If you want to see how you can become a Patreon producer, head on over to patreon.com/BossRushNetwork. The Patreon producers for this month are Adriel Munger, Austin Campbell, Celeste Roberts, Christian S., Sana Dierig, Francisco Santillan, Matthew Keel, and Todd Oxtro. Thanks for your continued support of the Boss Rush Network.